Right, there we go. So firstly, welcome to everybody and welcome to the Georgetown Council monthly meeting of the 23rd of April. We'll first do our attendance register. From a councillor's point of view, we have Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, and Mayor Councillor Greg Keyser. We have apologies from Councillor and Deputy Mayor Greg Dawson, who's battling another round of COVID today. From the staff side, we have our General Manager Shane Power, the Director of Corporate and Community Cheryl Hyde, the Director of Organizational Performance Strategy and Engagement Rick Dunn, Director of Infrastructure and Development Andrew McCarthy, and our Senior Executive Assistance and Governance Officer Louise Dickinson, and we will be joined by various other officers during the course of this afternoon's proceedings. As per our custom, we'll move on to our acknowledgement of country. The Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Littera Marina tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kini Mata Te Kinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of Pākehā people in Litruwita. Section 2 will move to the confirmation of minutes. 2.1 is confirmation of the minutes held of the meeting on the 26th of March 2024. Can I call for a mover, please? Our mover is Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Mason.
Same here, thank you.
I'll open that to speakers for, against, or questions. There being none, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr against. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Archer, didn't record your vote. You're for? Thank you very much. My motion is carried. And that means it is a 7-1 decision. In section 3, late items, over to you, General Manager. We have a few.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's get my microphone sorted. In today's agenda, I've put a report tabled as 3.1 titled Consideration of a Late Item for Council to Consider. Today, in my opinion, it meets the requirements underneath the local government meeting procedures, specifically section 86A and B, being that it was unable to be published on time in the agenda or at the time of publishment of the agenda, and it is both urgent and necessary for decision before council today. If council resolves to accept the late item, it will be considering it. It will therefore consider it 9.2 to fund will make sufficient provision of the funding of the removal of a turf wicket at the Georgetown Cricket Club. So thank you for that, Mr. Mayor. Council law should have in their possession a hard copy of the late report that's being tabled. There are hard copies available at the desk where the public have been asked to register their attendance. So thank you very much.
I'll ask everyone, does everyone have a copy of 3.1? You've all seen it.
And Mr. Mayor, the resolution that I'm seeking will also be displayed on the board for those to view, on the television screens for those to view as well. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's go to 3.1 then. All of you have a copy to accept the late item. Can I call for a mover, please? Councillor Harris is our mover and seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris, anything to add? Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
Nothing, thank you.
I'll open it to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions? Councillor Barwick.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that this really is a urgent document that should be brought to this meeting. I believe it could have come can come up at the next meeting, but it's already been tabled now.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Anyone else? I think we'll put that one to a vote straight away. All those in favour of item 3.1, please raise your hand or say aye. So Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr against. Again, Councillor Archer. And the motion is carried 6-2. So we will now add to our agenda item 9.2, which we will prosecute when we get there in the agenda. Public question time. So there may well be people who are unfamiliar with our question meeting procedure, our public question time meeting procedure. I'm going to give you the 30-second Greg version of how to avoid trouble in this section. So simply speaking, you've got 2 minutes to ask a question. It's not a time to debate your councillors. It's a time to frame your question, and hopefully we can provide you an answer on the spot to your question. Alternatively, if we're not confident we can do that to a sufficient standard, we may take your question on notice and respond to you in writing, and then we'll publish that response in the upcoming agenda of the next meeting, so it passes public scrutiny. I do note in section 4.2 responses provided to previous questions, notably to Mr. Nielsen.
Mr. Chairman, before you do go on, through the chair to you, can you tell me why, to the general manager, can you tell me why that you did not respond to Mr. Nielsen's question number 2? To me, it was a Judge Judy question.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I was going to say, Councillor Barwick, if you turn to page 10, of your agenda, there is a response there.
But that is not answering the question that was put from Mr. Nielsen. That's why I'm asking you why the question he asked was not answered. It was.
I respectfully disagree.
I'm also going to disagree with you. I think a sufficient response is provided directly to that question.
Matter of opinion. Yeah.
It is a matter of opinion.
Thank you.
Entitled to yours. Section 4.3, public question time. Louise Nunn on notice, or just received the one from Mrs. Wooten?
Yes.
Okay. Normally, when we receive a question on notice, or we receive it before, and it gives us a time to potentially formulate a quality response, we have it, so thank you very much. It makes the minute keeping a lot more effective, but hopefully I'll be able to respond, otherwise we'll take it on notice. But please launch ahead, Mrs. Wooten.
Oh, I was rather surprised a couple of weeks ago to read in the Examiner the notice of street closures to facilitate the planting of trees in the main street next Monday and Tuesday, as I'd heard nothing of this capital works project mentioned in a council meeting or read it in an agenda. I'm all for planting trees, and I can think of quite a few places that could be improved by them, or the ones that are there could be improved by a little bit of care. But I do have some reservations about the upheaval of the median strip in Macquarie Street for this. And my question is, where did this idea come from, and what community engagement, if any, was held around this major project?
I think through the chair to the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This has been a budget item as part of Council's ongoing commitment to community greening through the planting of trees. In this instance, I note that your question refers to it as a major project. That's not the opinion of officers. In line with the Council's adopted community consultation framework, where we believe we're compliant with the level of community consultation required in this instance, and that was done directly to businesses and road users that may be impacted by the planting of the trees.
Thank you. Question 2.
Community won't be affected then. My second question is, what progress has been made at the Mount George signal station site, and when can we expect to see the semaphore mast re-erected and the interpretation reinstalled?
You want to go? Over through the chair to the General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I note that the Director of Infrastructure and Development is making his way up to the table and hopefully can provide you with a sufficient response. Thank you, Mrs. Wooten.
Over to you, Mr. McCarthy.
Through the Chair. So we received an update yesterday. We're just waiting on the main mast to be treated at Coppers, and we're looking in the next 4 to 5 weeks installation. So there's just been a little bit of a hold up there, but all the arms have been fabricated and are on site, or on one of our sites. So, yeah, 4 to 5 weeks. Right. But we'll provide further updates as the date's locked in.
Right. And the interpretation will be brought back then, as soon as that's... The interpretation panel that's been missing for several years now.
I don't think that was scoped.
I'm aware probably before your time.
It is. I'm aware that there was an interpretation panel, and it has been stored somewhere, but I would have to find out further details on that.
I'll just take a question on that one, so let us double-check that, but I'm reasonably confident that we never scoped replacement panels. If we have it, it'll be reinstalled.
I think it was Parks that took it, okay. So presumably they'll bring it back when...
I'm just covering us to say, I just want to make sure that if we can locate it and we can find it, whoever's removed it, then absolutely, but we have not scoped or budgeted a repair or a remake.
Right. Well, it was taken away because it drew attention to the mast that was supposed to be dangerous, and so presumably they'll bring it back. So.
Good. And again, I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway, so just again for future reference, normal protocol is 2 questions from any member of the gallery. Again, since none others have been tabled, we'll just go and do a third one. But you know, just again, for note for normal process, I'll do 2. Ask you to take a seat, see if anyone else has a question. In this case, just go for it.
I brought it just in case.
Go for it.
It's been quite a few years now since I and other members of the Historical Society and other people made submissions, and I was with the late Peter Cox when he provided a comprehensive history, including images, for the Windmill Point Reserve to the General Manager some time ago. My question is there any likelihood of getting some interpretation at Windmill Point in the near future that informs the locals and the many visitors who come to that area of how those tree carvings depict the history of the old cable station site, and that the children's bespoke playboat represents HMS Buffalo, which is the ship that brought the first 200 plus Europeans to northern Van Diemen's Land, Tasmania, and it's not a pirate ship in the pirate park.
Through the chair to the General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I do acknowledge Mrs. Wooten and also the late Peter Cox in providing information with regard to the interpretation panels that were there. I can only apologise for the delay in delivering that. That was a project of mine to do, and that's why it's still outstanding. Fortunately, we've recently appointed a new Arts and Culture Officer who's taking up that project and is quite advanced at this point. So I'm expecting that we'll have something tangible in the very near future. We may need to do some consultation on those panels as well to make sure that they can they're accurate.
Accurate, yes, please.
And contemporary, you know, and suitable for today's, I suppose, audience and environment as well.
Thank you.
You should see movement on it shortly. Thank you.
It's good to know.
Thank you, Mrs. Wooten. Anybody else got a question from the gallery? Come, Margaret.
Thank you.
Welcome. Just for the record, just state your name for the audio.
Margaret Muir.
Thank you.
My question is actually regarding the item 7.2, which is on the agenda, which will be spoken about later in this meeting. The issue of the covenants covered by the agreement was presented initially in 2022. At this time, the proponent requested all building envelopes described in C 3.3 be removed. After due consideration and extensive deliberations, the council resolved to uphold the existing covenants according to the agreement. The proponent is now representing the same argument, but directing it in particular to two specific blocks, Lot 16 and 17, on which he plans to build. My interest is in Lot 16 where I live. Sorry, the block next to Lot 16 where I live. According to Mr. Stiles' letter of 12th of December 22, his argument for citing the envelope further forward on number 6, my lot, was in order that the proposed resident could avail itself of a garden at the rear, a clothesline, a 6x6 metre garden shed and a paved area. I humbly ask the council to reflect on the judicious and considerable deliberations they made 6 months ago regarding covenants, including building envelopes. My question, and I ask, is in voting on the forthcoming motion on agenda item 7.2, namely the request to end the Part 5 agreement on number 6 Leeds Avenue, council vote against the proposal, and the Part 5 agreement with regard to the building envelope is maintained. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mrs. Mayor, I'm going to say a few things. So, firstly, it's question time.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, we've what's said has been said. So it's not formally a question as such. I'm not going to accept it as a question, but we've all heard what you have to say. In anticipation of that motion, I will say to everybody, firstly, we will act as a planning authority. And so we are here to effectively enforce the local planning scheme of Tasmania, no more, no less, and our own subjective views do not on any level come into the scrutiny and the application of that vote. The second thing is, it's quite a technical area, being that on one hand you have a decision from council that pertains specifically to covenants, and this is an application specifically to Part 5 legal agreements, so they are quite distinct and quite separate in the way that they are scrutinized. And that's really all that I can say. When we come to that planning decision, I will be inviting any members of the public to engage with our planning office. And we're happy to sit down and shed some light on why we are considering those two things quite separately, what the ramifications are for covenants and how they are applied, and the ramification for Part 5 agreements and how they are applied. And we'd be very happy to help you in formulating that understanding. It is quite technical, as it turns out.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Yep. Through the chair, and Mr. Mayor, thank you. I just wanted to just add to what the Mayor had to say there. So it is a very complex subject when it comes to planning matters, and highly technical when you're comparing covenants and Part 5 agreements. And as such, I'd like to make available council resources through its planning and technical team. Obviously not today, time won't permit, but if there's a day or time, we can make available for anyone or all of you who wish to come in and get a bit more clarity on the topic, we can do so as well. So I just want to make that available to you all.
Thank you. All right, Section 5, Declarations of Interest. A call on all councillors. Does anyone have a conflict of interest, real or perceived? Councillor Lowe. Were there any more questions? Was there one more? Come on. Sorry, jump the boat.
Michael Doherty. I haven't got COVID, but I live next to Greg.
All the precautions are appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, I've done my best. This is about the same topic, and I appreciate that we're going to need guidance with all this, because it's a sensitive issue, particularly for the people that live in the area that have already made decisions in light of, you know, financial investment and all that sort of stuff, retirement and all that. My question is, can there be a compromise? Can there be a compromise that Mr. Stiles gets part of what he wants, and we get part of what we want. As Mrs. Muir's pointed out, and she's the most affected, but she's not the only one affected. So, you know, the placement on the block is the most important part of all this argument. No one really cares whether he builds a two-storey house or not, but the placement on the block. So we need guidance so that we have to live with Mr. Stiles and we can live amicably with him, and that everybody gets some of what they want.
Yep.
Now, that is my question. Whether can there be a compromise? And I want to get assurance that all the other covenants that relate to the area, such as vegetation heights, fencing restrictions, are observed as well. Because quite easily, he could build back in the block and put a 10-foot high fence and create the same havoc. So, well, I realise that council, this is an awkward situation for them, and a patch shouldn't have been there in the first place. It was there at Mr. Stiles' instigation. So, and we just need a peaceful, harmonious remedy.
I hear you loud and clear, and you know, and we're very much of the same opinion. You know, it's with the fact that there's quite a bit of discord in Leeds Avenue around this issue is not lost to us on any level. Having said all of that, again, you know, and it sounds familiar, but we are going to act as a planning authority, and that turns out is a rather black and white transactional affair. But we absolutely encourage, and it would be the same answer we give to anybody, if you have a dispute with a neighbour or a fence, we will provide the guidance in terms of making sure you understand what the vegetation restrictions are, boundary fence, we'll provide all of that guidance, but ultimately it does become, in this situation, with the covenants in place, a situation where you need to resolve that with Mr. Stiles. Some compromise needs to be forwarded through open communication. Are we happy to have a part in that? But ultimately, it does move towards being a civil matter. So we will apply our part and clear the path and then be of assistance. Okay, I'll go back to it. So declarations of interest, I think that we did. Are there no further questions? Declarations of interest, I think I did have one from Councillor Lowe.
Yes, thank you. Just in regards to item 10.1, sponsorship for New Year's Eve for Neighbourhood House, as my employer, I would oversee that project and I'd rather not have any involvement in decisions, and I'd allow council to have conversations without me staring them down.
I respect that entirely. I respect that entirely. Anybody else? None? Okay, then we note the General Manager's declaration. Around anything you want to add there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just noting that at item 10.3 in the agenda today is an item for consideration, being the Council Allowances Policy. I want to bring it to the attention of Council and the Gallery that there is a typo within the policy that I'll seek to amend the Officer's recommendation when we get to 10.3, but essentially it is a slight typo and correction that needs to be made in one of the clauses. But I'll bring that to the attention with your indulgence and that of Council at when it considers as item 10.3. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, that takes us to Section 7. Okay, just indulge me while I do this. So, councils are a planning authority. Each council acts as the planning authority for their municipality. In this role, councillors consider development applications and make administrative decisions that are based on the council's planning scheme. While councillors are obliged to consider the community's views, this does not mean that they can vote in favour of those views while fulfilling the role of a planning authority. Councillors must make planning decisions based on whether a planning application is consistent with the local planning scheme, even if members of the community object to the planning proposal. With that, we'll start with item 7.1. 7.1 is a request to remove a Part 5 agreement at 82 Balboy Beach Road, Low Head. And Again, for those who are familiar with this meeting format, our planner does a rather splendidly detailed job of pointing a rationale and answering all the objections, but we are not going to read through it. I'll point everyone to the planner's recommendation on page 20. And the planner's recommendation is that the council agrees, pursuant to section 74.3 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act, to the ending of that Part 5 agreement of D34898, registered against the title of 82 Balboa Beach Road, Lower Head. To that end, I will call for a mover for that item. A mover is Councillor Orr, seconded by Councillor Harris. Thank you very much. Councillor Orr, over to you.
Thank you. So, yeah, our plan has done a thorough report regarding removal of the Part 5 agreement. So we're employing more into the local planning scheme of the area.
Exactly right. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, first up, I'll highlight a spelling mistake. Despite my basic 2 Bell, we have 2 L's. Bell project. This is probably a little bit different to the one that we're going to be doing a bit later on, in as much as it's a basically a version of Boston, will be subdivided to allow 4 blocks in the run.
Potentially.
That's obviously a good use of the land that's out there. 1 hectare each, so it's not a small block, I mean, trust the imagination, so that's a good size for somebody who wants to live in that area and recreate.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. With that, I'll open it to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions? It looks like we've got a pretty moot point. Anything to add in closing, Councillor Orr?
Nope. No summary, no.
This has put that one straight to a vote then. All those in favour of item 7.1, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr. You for?
No.
Against. And Councillor Barwick against. And that is carried by 7-2-1. That leads us to item 7.2. This is a request to remove Part 5 agreement at 6 Leeds Avenue, Low Head. And again, with the preamble and the question time both hanging in our current memory, I will point everybody to the planner's recommendation on page 33. And page 33 is to agree to remove Section 5 agreement, or the Part 5 agreement, pursuant to Section 74.3 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act of 93, and ending of agreement C840797, registered against the title of 6 Leeds Avenue, Low Head, but only insofar as it affects Lot 16, and provided that the conditions and restrictions pertaining to Lot 1 and Lot 17 remain applicable as described in Clause 3.3b of the agreement. And I'm going to invite our planner, Justin, to the chair to, in preempting any possible questions. Justin Simons is our planner. To that effect, I will call for a mover, which is Councillor Harris, and a seconder. You're questioning first?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not the mover?
Currently.
How about I'm going to take you off? I'm going to give you a chance to ask a question, and then we'll see if you're still the mover.
Okay, I'd like to move an amendment that we actually defer this decision.
Yep.
To a point where we can have inclusive counselling with the those against the decision, and possibly bring a proponent into play as well. In the light that they are in agreement to actually have compromise.
So you want to defer,
yes,
with us undertaking a path of mediation between the two,
yes,
parties?
Yes, that would be right.
Is that a procedural motion?
Well, the defer part is definitely a procedural motion, but the mediation part is not. So. No.
Well, mediation must come later when it's organised.
Yeah.
Just need to.
I'm just trying to think how we would do that again in terms of the meeting.
Can
procedure.
I just ask a question, please? As a planner?
Hang on a second, let me not get overwhelmed. I think let's do, yeah. You've got to prosecute this one. We do the procedural motion to defer, and then I'll open the floor. Because again, the meeting regs are pretty straightforward. As soon as you have a procedural motion, all debate is to cease, and we're to prosecute that exclusively. So I'm going to accept that as a procedural motion to defer. So you are the mover of it, but I need a seconder for that procedural motion to proceed. Councillor Mason is our seconder. Okay, so now you're going to be voting, firstly, on whether or not you are going to accept the motion to defer. All right, is that clear? Everyone's going to do that. So is there anything else you want to add as mover? Nothing?
No, I think it says it wrong.
Okay. As seconder, anything you want to add?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Any speakers for or against deferring as a procedural? I think I'm out of scope. We're just supposed to vote, right? All right, let's put that to a vote. This is a motion to defer. All those in favour of deferring, please raise your hand or say aye.
Can I just ask a question?
No, you actually can't because it's a procedural motion. It's not a debate.
No, I don't want a debate. I'm just asking for some qualified advice.
I'm going to prosecute the vote. I think that's the safest. That's my literal interpretation of the regulations. So, sorry, I can't see what your vote was. Was it if... It's simply a motion to defer. You don't have to think about it beyond that. If there's a common consensus that this group of people want to have more time to consider what to do as opposed to executing this now, then make a decision accordingly. So that's what you're voting on, whether you want more time or not. All right, so one more time, I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour of deferring, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, and Councillor Keyser. All those against. Councillor Barwick.
I'm not voting. I can't get the qualified advice, so I'm just going to vote.
Okay, so you're abstaining, and Councillor Orr. So let me just get that again. So we have Councillor Barwick against, Councillor Orr, and Councillor Archer is abstaining. So we have five. There we have. So Councillor Keyser, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Harris, and Councillor Lowe. 5-3. So motion is carried. We will abstain and we'll make no decision on this today. We'll move it to workshop to decide what we're going to do. All right. No further debate. All right. That moves us to the next item of the agenda, Section 8, Office of the General Manager. And apologies for those in attendance. So basically, we'll move it to workshop and we will hopefully provide information that the councillors need to make a qualified decision or to choose a more appropriate course of action. Yes, Councillor Harris.
Can we offer the advice to Councillor Archer, the Duke of Suffolk?
You, no further debate.
Through the Chair, procedural motions are set out in Section 20 of the Local Government Act, Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. And in those regulations, they state once a motion has been put to be considered, a procedural motion has been considered for deferral,
all debate ceases,
the Chair has got to consider that before any other motion before or any other order of business, and that the no further discussion, essentially all debate on that matter is the thing. So that advice being sought, however, I'm sure we will come back to, but for the purposes of today's meeting that won't occur.
So you may, absolutely. Any members of the gallery, you may leave if you like. Thank you. Thank you. I know that's somewhat less than satisfactory in terms of, you know, getting an outcome, but at least it gives us a bit more time. Thank you. Okay, section 8.1. So section 8, Office of the General Manager, 8.1 is workshops. So note the meeting workshops on Tuesday, 26th of March, and Tuesday, the 9th of April. Can I call for a mover, please, to accept the workshops? Councillor Mason. And seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Mason. Anything
I'll move to the officer's recommendation to receive the report.
Thank you, Councillor Orr.
Yeah, I'll second them, and yeah, they were quite interesting and full workshops, and it was good to have a workshop at a different site location as well.
I agree. Any questions, speakers for or against? Put that to a vote. All those in favour of accepting the workshops? The motion is carried unanimously. Okay, section 8.2. This is a proposed motion for the Local Government Association of Tasmania, the general meeting in July of 2024, which is to give some more thorough consideration of costs for reimbursement for the care of dependents incurred while the council is undertaking their duties, and to develop a draft model clause by the sector so we can achieve consistency and greater diversity in our elected representatives. A noble clause. Our move is Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. This has been a long time coming for what we almost call equality within the ranks of the councils. And we know that previous mayors have been at a disadvantage because of the children they had and that sort of thing. So it was quite strenuous on the mayor at the time.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Just a second, thank you.
Thank you. Any speakers for, against, or questions? I think we'll put that one straight. Oh, yes, Councillor Archer.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think it's quite important that the Tasmanian Government provide a bit more guidance on policy on childcare reimbursements for dependents, not just childcare, but all dependents, and how that happens in unique circumstances and that sort of thing, and what's reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anyone else? Anything to say in closing, Councillor Harris? I'll put that one to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Again, the motion is carried unanimously. It leads us to section 8.3, the Weymouth Main Beach Recreation Area Development Plan. As most people are aware, our Weymouth community has put some specific effort into developing a strategy plan for the Weymouth Main Beach Recreation Area and associated development plan. That copy has been provided to councillors at the workshop on the 9th of April, as well as various representations from the group. This motion is to receive and note the Weymouth Main Beach Recreation Area and Development Plan. Can I call for a mover, please? Councillor Mason and Councillor Barwick. Councillor Barwick is our mover, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Barwick, anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, the reason that this is before us, it was presented to us a couple of years ago. We've had it presented to the council twice, and it seemed to just sort of not be accepted and received as, and take note of the work that community at Weymouth did in putting this document together, which was something I think that was asked for of the council, for them to set up their strategy plans that they wanted for their region out in that area. Now, okay, it's now been enjoined part of the character plan because a lot of the stuff that's in the character plan has come out of this document of the Weymouth Progress Association. So somewhere along the line, we've encumbered some them both, but it's sad that it's taken so long to even be recognised for what the work they do out in their community. But thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to note the officer's comments around the Weymouth Progress Association. They should be congratulated for all invested in their area. It's going to turn the Weymouth community into a much sought-after area for picnics and sightseeing and whatever. And I think they've done a marvellous job, and I'm more than happy to be the seconder. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Speakers for or against, or questions? Councillor Barton. Councillor.
Okay. So the area used to be a caravan park, shut down in 2001. So it's taken nearly 20 odd years to get to this stage of not much has happened, except for the good work of the Weymouth Progress Association. So I look forward to moving this forward, and if it means moving with the overall township character plan as well, that's also, and then combine the whole township, and also that then flows onto the other regional area as well. So I'm looking forward to that happen. I'm glad this process is happening now.
Good. And I'll make a similar observation, which is, again, I think there are a couple of pieces, moving pieces here. I think it's essential that we complete the work of the township character plans, and then we can mesh them in with the Weymouth Main Beach development plan. But the one will inform the other to a certain extent, so chronology is a little bit important here. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that there's it's a good thing that we note this, receive and note this report, and how it's impacted will have, and taken into account with the township character plans. And but we probably should look at other ones like Beechford. We've also got something similar, I believe. You know, I don't know whether councillors know about that, but they're probably important things, and they probably save council a lot of work, these things. I'll be supporting it, I believe. Thanks.
Good. All right, I'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Barr, to close. I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And we are unanimous. Yes. Yes. I'll ask the general manager to just, I think it's our gallery having a bit of a social.
Some drinks are off.
We'll move some of our chatter boxes along. Thank you, Shane. Okay, item 8.4, Acting General Manager Arrangements. So for the benefit of the gallery, from time to time, your general manager may take leave, be off, have personal engagements, which means the council needs to orchestrate who then will act in that capacity for a temporary basis.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that council authorise the mayor to appoint a person to act in the office of general manager during the absence of the general manager.
Authorise the mayor to appoint a director?
No.
So you say authorise the mayor to appoint a
person to act in the office of general manager during every absence of the general manager. Number two of the recommendation, the choice.
All right.
Up the top.
Okay. So Councillor Barwick has moved option two.
Thank you.
Let me just quickly just get my notes around.
No.
No?
Not the director.
No. Who moves? Moves point two. And let's just make sure that Louise has got.
number two, but that's all right.
So we're currently seeing what looks like your...
Not number one, office, number two of the officer's recommendation.
Yep. There we go. Just make sure we caught up there. Okay, so let's just double check. That's that one done. So we have a mover, is Councillor Barwick, and seconded by Councillor Mason. Have you seconded it? Good. So, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yes. During the absence of the general manager.
During the absence of the general manager.
During every
appoint
absence.
Appoint person acting.
Okay, so let's just read it back. So,
I'll
Council,
read it out. Can
please,
you read,
can you just confirm?
I'll read what I want to say. Can you read the board?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, how about I authorize read back, read what's captured? Because first, I want you to confirm for the minutes that the motion you've moved is what we recorded.
That's why I'd like to read it and you follow it.
All right, let's see how
authorize
we go.
Authorize the mayor to appoint a person to act in the office of general manager during every absence of the general manager.
Yes, that is spot on. So Councillor Barwick has confirmed that the minutes have accurately recorded her motion. Okay, we have a mover in Councillor Barwick, and I've also recorded we have a seconder in Councillor Mason. Councillor Barwick, take it away.
Mr. Chairman, I just don't think that there's need for a discussion on it. I think it's the responsibility of you as the leader of the community. If anything does go wrong, you're the first person that knows, so you can jump in and do what you have to do. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. Echo the sentiments of Councillor Bowie. In this case, we could, you could bring someone in from outside, but we do have very, very capable people within our ranks who have done it in the past, and I think if the occasion arises, they can do it again. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions? Councillor Orr.
Absent. So is that when you have a day off, or is it when your holidays, or what's...
I think technically when you are not able to perform your duties. I think through the chair to the general manager, I don't believe that is the case, actually.
Make up your mind.
Through the chair, thank you. It's certainly not the intention, I would have thought, to cover every absence of the general manager in terms of days, half days, so it's not specified. The intent underneath the Act is to give the general the mayor the flexibility and the power to appoint, but obviously using a lens in the ability for the mayor to ensure that the business of council and the administration of council is still able to function on a day-to-day basis. So I'd suspect that one day probably wouldn't qualify for a need to appoint a person, but I'd also suspect that in most cases, the mayor would consult with the officers and administration of council to make sure that any such appointment is warranted.
So if there's something that is time-bound and urgent and that explicitly needs the decision of somebody acting in the general manager's capacity, the decision is made, again, you know, is that person able to make that call and make a decision, even if they are technically on leave, which is a common process? If they are not obtainable, cannot make that call, then it's appropriate to have somebody who can act in their capacity while they are unavailable. So what I'd say would be the general interpretation.
And if I may, through the chair, just reflecting on that question from Councillor Orr, within the body of the report, 61B speaks of acting general managers and specifically 61B1 says, for the purposes of that section, a general manager is absent if he or she is absent for duty for any reason, he or she is otherwise unavailable or unable to perform the functions of the office of the general manager, or the position of general manager is vacant.
So the absence being the key point.
And the inability to perform functions.
Yes, Councillor Orr.
Okay, so if the Mayor is also absent at this same stage,
yep,
and Deputy Mayor, then who makes the decision?
So that is a really good question. The normal process, as you know, is if the Mayor is unavailable, the Deputy Mayor is unavailable. Then there is a further provision that says that if the Deputy Mayor is unavailable and the Mayor is not available, the Mayor can deputise anybody else from the Council to act in that capacity. So is there a specific scenario in terms of normal chronology? I don't think so, but over to you, Shane.
Through the Chair, and thank you once again for that question, Councillor Orr. I'll refer back to the body of the report. Again, in section 61B4 addresses your question in that the Council may appoint a person to act in the office of General Manager during every absence of the General Manager. So power exists with the Council.
Yeah, but I think the question was more to what happens in the event that your Mayor is unavailable or the Deputy Mayor is unavailable, then how do you...
So in those instances, what I would suspect would happen is a special meeting of Council would be called. And in those instances where a special meeting has been called and there is no Mayor or no Deputy Mayor, under the regulations, Council can still appoint a chairperson for that meeting.
That's right. There you go. Okay, I think we've covered a few scenarios there. I think we pretty much scratched that one. Any other questions? Yes, Councillor?
You going to give your thoughts on this?
My thoughts?
Because as you've been the Mayor, and this is...
Look, I will share my thoughts. I think that this is a very flexible option, which does give the Mayor some room to manoeuvre. Again, there's pros and cons to that. Again, it's for you as an elected body to decide whether or not you think a person has the competency to hold that level of flexibility. It's your decision. I'm pleased that you apparently think that I have that level of competency, so that's great. But I will say that we do hold an exceptionally strong bench of acting directors. Exceptionally strong. And I think in terms of career progression, of having that group of people understand the inner workings of our council as well as the next layer in terms of their understanding, their mentoring, all the rest, it makes very, very good sense to use and draw down on that bench of directors wherever you possibly can. And so that's something that I will do. However, through some almost unimaginable scenario, that was not the case, or they were not available or something like that, this does give me a little bit extra latitude. So I'm wholly in favour of it. Could go either way, in short. Anyone else? Councillor Archer.
Yes, thanks, Mayor. I think some interesting in-depth sort of scenarios from Councillor Orr, which I think are important, but I don't, regardless of this motion, the motion can't override the legislation, so 61B still applies and it still has the ability for the council to appoint and the mayor to appoint. So, but that said, I agree with the flexibility for, you know, reinforce the flexibility of the mayor to, and it has happened before in my lifetime, where they've had to appoint externally, and I think it's appropriate. Thank you.
Good. Anyone else? We'll hand it back to Councillor Barwick as our mover to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further comment.
We'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. The motion is carried unanimously. Section 8.5, draft audio recordings of council meetings and workshop policy. So for the point of having accurate minutes and accurate record keeping, A few proposed changes are being made to our audio recording policy pertaining to meetings and workshops.
Can I move, Mr. Chairman, that Council adopt the Council meetings and audio recording guidelines policy, excluding audio recording of workshops?
And so option two.
The policy be adopted.
So I will record that we have a mover in Councillor Barwick. And that is option two. Can I call for a seconder for somebody who wants to move option two? Councillor Orr. And we're going to get it on the screen, as is our custom. Councillor Barwick, seconded by Councillor Orr.
And that's excluding audio recordings of workshops.
So I'll read it back to you.
Yep.
So it says, adopt the Council meetings audio recording guidelines policy, excluding audio recording of workshops.
Yep.
So for the record, just confirming that Councillor Barwick has confirmed that the minutes accurately reflect her motion. So we have a mover in Councillor Barwick, seconded by Councillor Orr. Councillor Barwick, you are a mover, take it away.
Sorry, thank you. I'm quite happy about the closed session being audioed, and I'm very happy that we audio the public meeting, but I objected to and asked for workshops, because to me workshops are all about learning, training, different things that you might want to have to talk about, but they've suddenly started to become, I have a concern, they're becoming a little bit like mini council meetings, and I just like workshops to be where you can feel free to talk about things that you may have an issue with. And we don't have parliamentary privilege on anything that we do as councillors. So we need to be able to have somewhere, but and workshops are not recognised in the Act or under the Act as a designated meeting, and it states that in there. So I'm quite happy with everything else, but that is all I'm saying, is we move that out of the recording of the minutes. If it gets through, I'll be happy. If it doesn't, well, I won't speak at a workshop ever again. I will write everything down.
Thank you very much, Councillor Barwick. Councillor Orr.
I think actual meetings themselves, where we're actually making decisions, open or closed, they haven't recorded. So if there's any disputes later on, there's an audio recording of it. I'm yet to be convinced that we need to get workshops recorded, as we're not actually making decisions there. So why is that the case? So that's why I'm happy with the vote for number two. The only thing I would say is that I would rather have the policy brought to us without the track changes, so we actually see the final policy before it goes up as well. Thank you.
Thank you. The motion still stands, though, right? We have to deal with the motion. Exactly, correct. So in that case, I'll open it to the floor. Any speakers for or against, or questions? Failing which, Councillor Archer.
On page 138 of the attachments, page 4 of the draft, that we were talking